Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve. The show is Word for Word for Tuesday, September the 13th. And today we are going into Numbers chapter 17 and 18. And we had the slaying of Korach and the rebellious on yesterday's show. And this is the aftermath of what is going on. The Hebrew text is a little different than the King James as far as verse numbering. So we'll note that and move on from there. Let's get into chapter 17, verse 1. Spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to Eleazar, 499, son of Aharon the priest, so that he picks up, 7311, the censers from the burning, 8316. Now, 8316 here means destruction by fire, not incense burning. And scatters, 2219, the fire away, 1973. Because they are hallowed, 6942. They were bronze, and they were hallowed censers for burning incense to Yahweh. So they couldn't just throw them away, and he had to scatter the fire, couldn't just put it out. Even the fire was holy. They were holy incense burners. So verse 3, the censers of the sinners, 2,400, against their own lives, 5,315. Make them into broad, 7,555, plates, 6,341. For a plating, 6,826, of the altar. Because they offered them before Yahweh, therefore they are hallowed. And they shall be a sign, 226, to the children of Israel. Even though they were not authorized to offer incense, when they offered before Yahweh, they were hallowed. That's how it works. But they did so like Nadab and Abihu, and it was not permitted, and Yahweh didn't tell them to do that, so he killed them, just like Nadab and Abihu. He doesn't play around. Verse 4, and took Eleazar the priest the censers of bronze, that brought near they which were burned, and they were beaten broad, 7,554, for a plating of the altar. Verse They were not going to throw them away. They were going to make them into something and have them in public view as a reminder or a sign, like it said in verse 3. Verse 5, a reminder, 21:46, to the children of Israel that no strange, 21:14, man which is not of the seed line of Aharon, and it means even other Israelites, if you weren't of the seed line of Aharon, you could not come near. Not of the seed line of Aharon may come near to burn 6999. That was different than the 8316. That's incense burning. May come near to burn incense before Yahweh, so that he will not be as Korach and his assembly, as that said Yahweh by the hand of Moshe. They didn't learn, evidently, from Nadab and Abihu, that someone that was not of the Aharonic seed line could not approach. They only were the priests. Well, and now there are no priests because Yahshua took it away from them because they were so infiltrated by the Edomites. They weren't Aharonic anymore. They were Jews. Okay, let's just put it like it was. And Jews aren't Israel. And definitely not of Aharon. So they have no business being in the priesthood. Now they call them rabbis, which means teacher, and what they teach is the Babylonian Talmud, not the scriptures. Here we go again. Verse 6, complained, 3885, all the congregation of the children of Israel the next day, that's one word, 4283, against Moshe and against Aharon, saying, you have killed people of Yahweh. I don't recall Moshe and Aharon killing anybody. It was Yahweh that killed these people. Verse 7. And it was when gathered the congregation against Moshe and against Aharon that they looked, 6437, toward the tent of meeting, and behold, covered it the cloud. That's the cloud that Yahweh brought down, pillar of cloud, and appeared the glory of Yahweh. Verse 8, and came Moshe and Aharon to before the tent of meeting. Verse 9, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, 10, get away, one word, 7426, from among this congregation, so that I may put an end, that's one word, 3615, put an end to them instantly, 7281, and they fell upon their faces. In other words, they prostrated themselves. This was another manifestation of Yahweh in anger. And even after all the grief they had given him, this is the nature of Moshe. Verse 11. And said Moshe to Aharon, take a censer and put upon it fire from the altar and put in it incense and walk quickly, 41:20, to the congregation and make propitiation, 37:22, for them. For goes forth wrath, 71:10, from the presence of Yahweh. For has begun, 24:90, a plague, 50:6-3. That's an infliction of disease. Negev. He sent a plague out and was killing these people who were complaining, blaming Moshe and Aharon for what Yahweh himself had done in his righteousness. The people of Israel just can't accept punishment. And they'll blame righteous people. And they'll whine and they'll cry, why does God permit bad things to happen to good people? It's a testing ground, and he's Yahweh and we're not. We are in apostasy today. And we're being punished today. Look at all the stuff that's going on around us. I keep saying this and keep preaching this because it keeps coming up in Scripture. I didn't write this. This is an example long ago of what's going on today. Yahweh is punishing us. We are still his people, and he still loves us, but his perfect justice demands that he punish his children when they are disobedient, and we are still disobedient. A lot of people are waking up, and that's a wonderful thing. The audience here at EFR is growing by leaps and bounds, and that's a good thing. We had downloads. We had over 4,000 downloads that they just posted on one of our private chats to let us know how effective we are, and we are becoming effective. They're downloading the shows. David James and myself and Eli and Pastor Mullet, people are downloading this preaching because they want to have it, and they invite their friends over and play it back for them off their computer. Listen to what this guy said, and they play it back, and myself, and that pleases me greatly because it means I'm striking a blow, as are my other brothers that are preaching and sisters, against the enemy, against the seed of the serpent. And this pleases me greatly because that's what I'm here for. I'm here to educate and exhort to righteousness my brothers and sisters in Israel, and to just put it to in a big way the demon seed that is oppressing us. Through education does work if you present it in the proper manner and don't go off on some wild tangent and just stick to the scriptures and preach from the scriptures. Yahweh's word does not go out empty. It will catch and take hold and bear fruit. He tells us that repeatedly. Praise Yahweh. Happy to do it. Happy, happy, happy. Verse 12. And took Aharon, as spoke Moshe, and ran, 7:3-2:3, to the midst of the congregation. And behold, had begun a plague in the people, and put on incense, and made propitiation for the people. And he stood between the dead and between the living and stayed, 6:1-1:3, the pestilence, 4046. Okay. 4046 is Magepha, different from Negev. They're related. And when he stayed the plague, in other words, it stopped. He made it stop with the propitiation. Here's the toll. 14. It was that died of the pestilence 14,700, beside those that died over the matter of Korach. This is in an instant. This is a 5-minute period of time, more or less, between he can grab an incense burner and some incense and stick some fire in it and run out into the crowd. 14,700 died within a 5 or 10 minute period. Let's give it 10 minutes, because Aharon was old and maybe a little slow. Yahweh's wrath is a fearsome thing. When Yeshua Messiah returns, and I'm going to grab my Bible here, my other one with the New Testament in it, and I'm going to read my favorite passage. Now, here's an example of 14,700 people dying in just a few minutes, smitten by Yahweh. Pardon me. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Or through 10. I'll read all the way through 10. You just saw in Numbers the death that he caused just through his will. Verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians. Since Elohim shall rightly repay with affliction those who afflict you, those who are afflicting us today, and you know who they are. Verse 7, and to give you who are afflicted rest with us when the Master Yeshua is revealed from heaven, coming down from the sky, with his mighty messengers, that's angels of destruction and war, the war angels, if you want to use the term angels. I don't. I use messengers, which is correct. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know Elohim and on those who do not obey. Oh, my. Obey the good news of our Master Yeshua Messiah, his teachings. If you love me, keep my commandments. Remember that one? Verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Master and from the esteem of his strength? Verse 10. When he comes to be esteemed in his set apart ones, that's us, Israel, and to be admired among all those who believe in that day. Those that believe in that day. Those that don't believe, got a problem. Because our witness to you was believed when they were preaching to those at Thessalonica, the Israelites there. Yeshua's coming back. The government can't stop him. The ADL can't stop him. No lawyer can sue him. No prosecutor can prosecute him. No judge can judge him. No police can arrest him. He's coming back with a mighty army to do more of what I just read to you from the book of Numbers. He's going to kill the enemies of Yahweh. And the ones that were killed here were not only disrespecting Aharon and Moshe, they were disrespecting Yahweh. Because when you attacked Moshe, he even punished Aharon and Miriam for speaking against him. He said, how dare you speak to my chosen like that? You don't talk about Moshe like that. Why didn't you fear? Well, why don't we fear today? I do. Verse 15. And returned Aharon to Moshe to the door of the tent of meeting, and the pestilence was stayed. Verse 16. And spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and take to them each a rod that is 4294 doubled, according to the house of their forefathers, from all the leaders of the house of their forefathers, 12 rods, the name of each man write 3789 upon the rod. Verse 18, and the name of Aharon write upon the rod of Levi, because one rod shall be for the head of the house of their forefather. Each of the 12 tribes. Verse 19, and you shall lay them, 5117, in the tent of meeting before the testimony, 5715, where I will meet with you. Verse 20, and it shall be the man which I choose, his rod shall blossom, 6524, and I will make to cease, 7918, against you the grumblings, 8519, of the children of Israel, that they complain, 3885, against you. All right, let's describe a rod. It was a peeled stick. All the bark was off of it, peeled down to the wood. All the little nubs of any branches or shoots or anything out from it, trimmed off, a nice smooth stick. They were used to poke cattle, to hit people over the head if they were attacked. The rod of the leader of a house of one of the forefathers of Israel, one of the 12 patriarchs, was a symbol of authority. That was their authority symbol, like a scepter, sort of, but not as authoritative. So that's what they mean by a rod. About 3 foot long. Now, staff was a full 6 foot. They used that as a walking staff and as a weapon. But the rod they could use as a club. Okay, so they carried a rod, and if anything would happen, they could use that rod for self-defense or offense. get bashed overhead by a 3-foot rod, it's gonna bust your head. And these really meant something, because usually the leaders have a decorated, carved, you know, something nice that they carried, because it showed that they were in authority over their tribe. Verse 21, and spoke Moshe to the children of Israel, and gave to him all the leaders a rod for each leader. Now that this is complicated. 4294/5387/259, and that is doubled, a rod for a leader, 5387/259 is one for each, okay? A rod for a leader one, a rod for a leader one. That's how it's put in the Hebrew, and it's pretty tough in the English. Doesn't make sense to us. For the house of their forefathers, 12 rods, and the rod of Aharon among those rods. Verse 22, and laid Moshe the rods before Yahweh in the tent of the testimony. That's the Holy of Holies. Verse 23, and it was on the next day went Moshe to the tent of the testimony, and behold, blossomed the rod of Aharon of the house of Levi, and brought forth buds, 6525, and bloomed, 6692, blossoms, 6731, and produced, 1580, ripe almonds, one word, 8247. This was a peeled, dead, dry stick. That's what they called a rod. They didn't carry around a green, freshly stripped branch. They had a dried rod, and his was almond wood. When it dries hard, and you can really whack somebody with it, or throw it down before Pharaoh, and it'll turn into a serpent or a crocodile. Same rod, okay? Verse 24, and brought forth Moshe all the rods before Yahweh to all the children of Israel, and they looked, and every man took his rod, because their name was written on it. They knew which rod belonged to whom. Verse 25, and said Yahweh to Moshe, bring the rod of Aharon before the testimony to be kept, 4931, for a sign to the sons of the rebels, 4805, and put an end, 3615, to their grumblings against me. They were grumbling against Yahweh, and using Aharon and Moshe as the object of blame. But Yahweh was the one that killed all those people in his wrath. So they were grumbling against him, and they almost got themselves all killed, so that they do not die. Verse 27, and did Moshe that which commanded Yahweh, so he did. Verse 27, and said the children of Israel to Moshe, saying, behold, 2005, we expire, 1478, we perish, 6, we all perish. Verse 28, all that approaches near, 7131, doubled, to the tabernacle of Yahweh shall die, 4191. Shall we be destroyed, 8552, with expiring? And expire is 1478, and that is gawainu, as breathing out the last breath. Verse 23 through 25 here, you reference Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. These people just kept it up and kept it up and kept it up, and they just didn't learn. And it cost a lot of them their life. So, what can you say to that? Well, I'm going to get into chapter 18 here. And it's got 32 verses in it. And it's more instructions to the Levites. And it's fairly repetitive. It's reminding them again of their duties. So let's get into this. It's been gone through before, but it's here again. In the Hebrew style of writing, they have repeated it again in chapter 18. Let me get a drink of water here before I go into this long dissertation here. Water and sea salt. Verse 1 of chapter 18. Said Yahweh to Aharon, you and your sons and the house of your fathers with you shall bear the iniquity, 5771, of the sanctuary, 4720. They're responsible for any errors or misdeeds. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity of the priesthood, 3550, inclusive of all their duties and the laws that he had given them. Verse 2, also your kinsmen, 251, of the clan of Levi, the tribe of your forefather, bring near with you, that they may accompany 3867 you, and minister 8334, but you and your sons shall serve before the tent of testimony. Verse 3, and shall keep 8104, the guard 4931, and guard the whole tent, but 389 to the vessels 3627 of the holy place 6944 and the altar 4196, they shall not come near, so that they do not die, or also you. They were the others, the non-Aaronic Levites, were to be the guards for the temple. And they would kill you if you went up there uninvited. They were real serious about that. Verse 4, and they shall accompany you and keep the guard of the tent of meeting for all service of the tent. And a stranger shall not come near to you. That's 21:14. That's somebody not of the tribe of Levi. Verse 5, and you shall keep the guard of the holy place and the guard of the altar, so that there not be any more wrath, 71:10, upon the children of Israel. Verse 6, and I, behold, have taken your kinsmen, the Levium, from the midst of the children of Israel, to you as a gift, 4979, given 5414 to Yahweh, to perform the service of the tent of meeting. Put it up, take it down, clean it up, do repairs, carry it, that stuff. 7. And you and your sons with you shall keep your priest's office, one word, 3550, for all matters of the altar and of the house of the veil, 6532, and shall serve. The service is a gift given to the priesthood, and the stranger that comes near shall be put to death. No fooling around. Verse 8, and spoke Yahweh to Aharon, I, behold, have given you the duty, 4931, of my heave offerings, 8641, of all the hallowed things, 6944, of the children of Israel, all given to you by the anointing, 4888, and to your sons by an ordinance, 2706, forever, 5769, olam, literally a long time. Verse 9, this shall be yours of the most holy things, 6944, doubled from the fire. All gift offerings, 7133, all grain offerings, 4503, all sin offerings, 2403, all guilt offerings, 817, which they shall render, 7725, to me, most holy to you and to your sons. Okay, the sin offerings, 2403, 2403 can also mean the sin. It has dual usage. The sin itself and the offering for the sin comes from 2403. They have a lot of dual usage, or triple sometimes, or more for some of the words in the Hebrew. Depends on the context, whether it, how it's used. If it's used idiomatically, as a figure of speech, metaphorically, it's all very difficult. You have to read the passages before and the passages after a lot of times to get the context. Verse 10 of chapter 18. In the most holy place you shall eat it. All males, 21:45, shall eat it. Holy it shall be to you. Verse 11. And this is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings, 8573, of the children of Israel. To you I have given them, and to your sons and to your daughters with you, by an ordinance forever, in other words, a very long time, all that are ceremonially clean, 2889, in your household shall eat of it, that is 2889, tahor. T-A-H-O-R, but ceremonially clean. They haven't been defiled by a dead body or a creepy crawly critter or something else, whatever. They had to be pure to come in to his household and eat these holy things. If they had become defiled somehow, they were not allowed to eat it. Verse 12, all the best, 2459, of the lighting oil, 3323, and all the best of the wine, 8492, and of the wheat, 1715, the first fruits, 7225, that are given to Yahweh, I give you. Now the best literally means fat. That's what it means. Just like in verse 17. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 13. The first ripe, 1061, of all that is in the land that they bring to Yahweh. Now, 106.1 is Bikure. Yours it shall be. All that are ceremonially clean in your household shall eat of it. 14. All that is devoted, 2764, to Yahweh in Israel shall be yours. And 18:14, you can reference Leviticus chapter 27, verse 28. Verse 15, all that opens, that's 6363, Peter, the womb, 7358, Rechem, of all flesh, 1320, Basar, that is brought near for Yahweh, of Adam or beast, 929, shall be yours. Nevertheless, 389, surely redeemed, 6299, doubled for emphatic usage, shall be the firstborn of Adam. He did not have human sacrifice. You would substitute an animal for redemption price for that child, your firstborn child of a woman. And also the firstborn of beasts that are unclean, 2931, redeem. Now 2931 is Tamea. We're talking about work animals. Horses, donkeys, camels, stuff like that. They're valuable animals. They needed them to stay alive, to do work and carry burdens, plow fields, do all kinds of stuff. So he didn't want to kill them off. So you pay a redemption price for that work animal. Common sense. Verse 16. Those redeemed of a month old you shall redeem at your estimation, 6187, silver of 5 shekels of the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. That's a little heavier than a common business shekel. 17, but the firstborn of a cow, 7794, or the firstborn of a sheep, 3775, or the firstborn of a goat, 5795, you shall not redeem. They are holy for sacrifice. Their blood you shall sprinkle, 2236, upon the altar, and their fat, 2459, again, you shall burn, 6999, like burning incense, that's what that word is used for, as an offering made by fire, that's one word, 801. For a pleasing odor, I think it's 8001, 8001. Yeah, I have a typo here. For a pleasing odor to Yahweh. I'll put another little red zero there for when I computerize it. Verse 18, and their flesh shall be yours as the wave, 8573, breast, 2373, and as the right, 3225, shoulder, 7785, are yours. A lot of the prime meat. The priest had to eat something. They were busy all the time. Verse 19, all heave offerings of the holy things which lift up the children of Israel to Yahweh, I give you and your sons and daughters with you. The whole family ate that. I need to grab something here. By an ordinance forever, a covenant, 1285, of salt, 4417. And I hole punched this piece of paper. And took out some of the reference numbers. A covenant of salt forever it is before Yahweh to you and your seed line with you. Now the covenant of salt is referenced in Leviticus 2:13 and 2 Chronicles 13:5. So that's the covenant of salt. And the hole punch put a hole right over the Chronicles numbers. I couldn't see it, so I had to grab another copy of that I had. Well. But that covenant of salt was a very important thing. All of it. And verse 14, back where they were devoting everything to Yahweh, that item, animal, money, vow, whatever, belonged to Yahweh. But a devoted thing is an item or an animal for sacrifice that could be transferred and used by the priests. It was special. It was for the upkeep of the priests. So in verse 14, you reference Leviticus 27, verse 28. These references are very important, so you know I'm just not talking out of my hat. And we're coming down the end of the road here on chapter 18. I'll see if I can get her done. I should be able to. Verse 20, spoke Yahweh to Aharon, in their land you shall not have an inheritance, 5157. And a portion, 2506, shall not be among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Yahweh was their portion. They would be sustained by offerings to Yahweh because they were so busy and they were so occupied with everything else, they couldn't do anything else. They didn't have any time. Verse 21, and to the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tenth part, 4643, in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, the service of the tent of meeting. Verse 22, no longer may come near the children of Israel to the tent of meeting, lest they bear sin, 2399, and die. Verse 23, and shall perform the service of the tent of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. An ordinance forever among your posterity, that among the children of Israel they shall not inherit inheritance. Verse 24, but the tenth of the children of Israel, which they lift up as a heave offering to Yahweh, I have given to the Levium to inherit. Therefore I said to them, among the children of Israel you shall not inherit inheritance. Verse 25, and spoke Yahweh to Moshe, saying, verse 26, to the Levium thus speak, and say to them, when you take of the children of Israel the tenth part which I have given to you from them as an inheritance, then you shall lift from it a heave offering to Yahweh, a tenth part from the tenth part. Verse 27, and your heave offering shall be accounted to you as though it was the grain, 17:15, from the threshing floor, 16:37, and as the harvest, 4:395, of the wine press, 3:342. Verse 28, thus you shall also lift up a heave offering to Yahweh of your tenth part, which you receive of the children of Israel, and you shall give of it Yahweh's heave offering to Aharon the priest. Verse 29, from all your gifts, 4979, you shall lift up every heave offering of Yahweh, all the best, 2459, again, the fat, the best of it, the holy part of it from it. Verse 30. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it from it, then it shall be counted to the Lewium as the increase, 8393, of the threshing floor, and of the as the increase of the wine press. Verse 31. And you shall eat it in every place, you and your households, because it is your reward, 7934, for your service in the tent of meeting. Verse 32, and you shall bear your guilt because of it, when you have lifted up the best of it, and the holy things of the children of Israel you shall not profane, lest you die. Profane is 2490. Now, when they're talking about profaning, they must remain ceremonially clean to eat this food. They cannot have a bunch of sin and impurity on them. They cannot let anybody else that is a non-Lewi eat of it. They have no business touching the holy sacrificial food that was set apart for the tribe of Levi only. When they're talking about strangers, they're not talking about racial aliens. They're talking about even people of Israel or a sojourner that's an Israelite from another land. They are not to approach the tent of meeting from this point on. Only the Lewium to do their duties, and the only ones that can go inside while the presence is there is Aharon and the seed line of Aharon as priests. They were set apart from the set apart. They were special in the tribe of Levi. They were higher in status than even the other Lewium that worked in the temple. Anybody couldn't go sauntering on up there, because Yahweh would send out that fire like he did before, and he'd kill them. I mean, he's giving them fair warning. Teach this to everybody. Don't let anybody just come up here. You are responsible. You bear the guilt for the service of the tabernacle. So they had some pretty heavy duty carrying all that stuff around and guarding to make sure nobody came up there, not just because they're trying to be tough guys, but this was an ordinance from Yahweh. So they would tell people, no, don't go any further. And if they kept on, they would kill them, because if they didn't kill them, wrath would come out from Yahweh and punish the whole congregation. So it was their responsibility to be temple guards. Okay? Well, that's what was happening then. All these sacrifices and all this heave offerings and all that. There is no more temple. The temple is within us. We are to honor and keep that temple clean. Take good care of it. The new temple and the new altar and all of that will be coming down with Yeshua Messiah. The Levitical priesthood was stripped of its priesthood because of the infiltration of the Edomites, profaning it in Yeshua's time. He finished and completed and fulfilled totally the need for any blood sacrifice. Therefore, that priesthood is no longer needed to make all these ritual sacrifices. But in these chapters of the Torah, dealing with the Levites, there are laws for the people of Israel, behavioral laws, sexual laws, business laws, all common sense stuff from Yahweh on how to live our lives and deal with other people within Israel and even with racial aliens. We are taught how to deal with non-Israelites if they are not trying to harm us. We are not to try to harm them, but we are not to intermarry with them in any manner or mix with them or adopt their religious practices. We are not to have them in our homes. They are to remain separate outside of the scope of Israel. They're in the world. They're here. We need to deal with them, but Yahweh gives us the proper manner of dealing with these people. I mean, He's got us covered. So all we have to do is follow what Yahweh has taught us. The problem is, we've gotten corrupted, as everybody has. Israel has become corrupted, and we are living in the world, and a lot of us are living of the world. We have been caught up in the perversions of the adversary's children that they have put upon us, and we are no longer obedient. So we have a problem. Each individual Israelite, myself, you, your brother, your sister, whoever, each one of us must have self-discipline. It's the only kind of discipline that works, self-discipline, and do our very best to be obedient to these laws, even if it's inconvenient to us. It sets us apart, and people question, why do you do this? Because I am an Israelite. Oh, you're kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I don't do what you do. I don't look like you. I don't dress like you. I don't eat like you. I don't worship like you. There is only one Elohim, and that is Yahweh, and we are His chosen people. I'll talk to you tomorrow when we get into Numbers 19 and 20 on Wednesday. And I say Shalom Aleichem, and may Yahweh bless all of you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.